Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Job was an upright man among men, and brought down to a low estate in his flesh by extreme suffering, both in body and possessions. While this was indeed a chastening of Job, yet the culmination of that which the Lord would teach Job is not seen until the very last chapter, when he is made to see himself in the light of the glory of God, who he had some knowledge of, but yet lacked the vital component of seeing the unfolding of the Lord's absolute glory. We see the same thing occur with Jonah as he was humbled before the very God whom he disobeyed. Little did he know that the Lord had already prepared a fish before he ever bought a ticket to Tarshish. There in that fish's belly he was brought to confess, salvation is of the Lord. Peter was a strong man, both in body and determination. Yet because the Lord loved him, he could not be allowed to trust in the arm of the flesh. Thus he was made to weep bitter tears as he fulfilled the Lord's prophetic words to him. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. The cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. One of the most amazing accounts found in the Scriptures of the visitation of grace upon a man is seen as the Lord performed his perfect work upon one whom he had ordained as the destroyer of Israel. King Nebuchadnezzar was a vain and wicked king who worshipped a multitude of gods, but mostly was enamored of himself. Little by little, the Lord bore witness to Nebuchadnezzar of his power. First, when Daniel was unable to interpret his dream, he testified of the Lord's greatness, as many carnal men do. Yet he stopped short of seeing who the Lord is. For the very next chapter, we see him raising up a golden image in the plain of Dura, in the very face of him who said, "Thou shalt not make any graven image." Through his act of wicked idolatry, the Lord was pleased to set the stage for yet another testimony to his own greatness, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the fiery furnace. The Lord's hand is not shortened, save by many or by few, and this wicked king once again was brought to acknowledge the great deliverer, who preserved the lives of these young men in an impossible situation. Yet the Lord was not yet through with his chastening of Nebuchadnezzar, for he was given another dream which troubled him greatly, and Daniel was once again brought in to interpret this vision. He trembled before the Lord as Daniel revealed that which would occur. He may have even performed some deeds of kindness and reformed his conduct to some extent. Yet like all carnal religious men, this was a mere outward reformation. For soon he was once again filled up in his natural pride as he surveyed the vastness and beauty of his kingdom and gloried therein without proper regard to him who rules absolutely and had given him all of this. The Lord was bringing Nebuchadnezzar exactly where he designed for him to be, that he might bring true repentance unto him by revealing to him his own weakness and the glory and power of the true and living God. Now, to be sure, this was an extreme circumstance which the Lord was pleased to use. The Lord will meet each one of his children at the point of their rebellion. Though Nebuchadnezzar had expressed in some measure a recognition of the Lord's greatness, he had merely expressed that greatness as being superior to other gods which he compared him to. The Lord told the children of Israel, "Thou shalt have no other gods before my face." It is not sufficient for the sons of God to merely acknowledge that God is great. Rather, they must be brought to the place of understanding that he is without rival and that there is no God but one. This is the very truth set forth by Christ when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And then repeated by Peter, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Nebuchadnezzar was brought to this same place as he extolled the King of Heaven. He recognized the power and grace of him who humbles those whom he loves, as he confessed, "Those that walk in pride he is able to abase." He was brought to confess what every one of those who are thus favored by the Lord must. He who had eaten grass like an ox now eloquently and clearly magnified the Lord of heaven and earth. "I bless the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" Can any who know him deny this?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.